5, verse 38 to 42. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand them your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with them for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow." The Gospel of the Lord. The law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, was a law called Lex Talionis. It was a law that marked the beginning of mercy and a limitation of vengeance. This law had deteriorated by the time of Jesus, and like today, it was a saying that gives way to unlimited revenge. But Jesus comes and offers a newer law, a law which would abolish the old law of unlimited vengeance, or the perversion of the law that gave unlimited revenge. Jesus would call for a new spirit of non-resentment and non-retaliation. But it makes me wonder. There is a part of me that wants to say, "Are you kidding me? I'm no doormat over which the rest of humanity can walk without any difficulty. I'm not naive. Oh, I can be nonviolent when it comes to war, and I'm not going to go out and buy a gun and shoot someone. I'm not going to make a bomb and put it in the World Trade Building. I'm not going to beat someone, but I am going to protect myself, and I know how to protect myself. I know how to keep myself from being hurt, and I know how to get back at someone when they hurt me." And yet those haunting words that I say to you. Jesus, you seem to be preaching a kind of slave mentality in which I should not mind being exploited by others, by staying passive and inert when someone takes advantage of me. Jesus, you preach nonviolence, but surely, surely, you don't mean for me to be a doormat. Surely you don't mean to let people walk all over me. And yet those words, "But I say to you," Jesus tells us not to offer resistance or take revenge, to turn the other cheek, to lend what we have, to go even further than people force us to go with them. Turn the other cheek. Give not only my shirt, but also my coat. Walk an extra mile. This is tough. I really like to think of myself as a nonviolent person. I don't know that I am, really. I think there are times when I do violence to myself and to others and to God. There are times when I work too many hours. I take on too many responsibilities. I don't get enough sleep. Times when I eat all the wrong things. When I do not get enough exercise. Times when I do violence to my body. Times when I do violence to my inner world. When I harbor hurts. When I cling to my way of thinking about things. Or cling to practices and values that need to be expanded or changed or disregarded. I also do violence to my inner world. when I don't take time for prayer and reflection. We do violence to ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually. So I look at my life and I wonder, am I nonviolent in the way I respond or treat myself? Do I do violence to another person when I refuse to listen? Not because of what they are saying, but I refuse to listen because of who they are. There are people that we just dismiss or write off because they are different. We may refuse to talk with them, refuse to seek to come to an understanding, refuse to forgive each other. Is that any less destructive than physical violence? In so many ways, I think it is more destructive. What other ways do we do violence to each other? Maybe constant negative attitude, a general spirit of ungratefulness, or playing downright meanness to each other. I can name the ways in my own life when I have been the violent one, and I am sure that each of you can name them in your own. I can also look at my own life and identify the times in my life when I have been the victim of violence. And yet those words. But I say to you, there is also the institutional violence of which I am sometimes a part, both in society and in the church. The violence towards women and children and the poor in society and in our church is so insidious and deeply ingrained that often we don't even know it or recognize it. Or the language that is used to cover up the violence keeps us in darkness. We can be so anesthetized by the vocabulary we read and use. And then there is also the violence we do to God. We do violence to God when we have idols, whether they be money or power or self-will or inordinate self-preservation, or whatever it is that you and I put before and above God. The environmentalists have finally broken through to our consciousness. And as we watch in horror at the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, we begin to see and believe the many ways we are doing violence to our planet and the atmosphere. What about this reading? Is Jesus telling us to just ignore violence and injustice? Or is he telling us to just offer it up? I don't think so. I don't think Jesus is saying just ignore injustice or just ignore the violence done to us or the violence done to others or the violence done to the planet or the violence done to God. What I think Jesus is saying is not to return violence with violence. Jesus is saying we have the power to choose how we will respond. To be nonviolent is not to be blind. Rather, it is just the opposite. To be nonviolent is to be acutely aware of the violence, the injustice, the sin around us, and to respond to these in ways that will bring about change. Respond to violence and injustice in ways that will bring peace and restore harmony, and work towards justice for all. You have heard it said, but I say to you, you have heard it said, but I say to you, you have heard it said, but I say to you, as you enter into your own reflection time with today's gospel passage, I invite you to consider, what is it that you have heard said? What is it that Jesus says to you.